Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Buck, and I'm joined here with
Rob.
Once again, for those of you that are just joining us, we're here live in Javelina Stadium in Kingsville, Texas. We're here for the area championship between the Ed Cal Chelsea Yellow Jackets and the Beeville Trojans. Well, in any case, just to quickly go down the starting lineup for the Ed Cal Chelsea Yellow Jackets, starting on offense.
There you go. On offense, we have quarterback Eric Nino, number one. Halfback Roger Garcia, number 32. In the slot, we have Ronnie Fettis, number 11. The big tight end, Eric Aguilar, one of the studs on offense, number 14. At fullback, Anthony Perez, been solid all year. On the O-line, we have Adrian Diaz, the offensive guard. Jose Saldana, the other guard. Offensive tackle, we have Sal Valladolid. Other tackle is Manuel Rosales. And at center, we have Nano Torres.
On the defensive lineup for the Yellow Jackets, starting in the secondary, the two corner positions, we have Joseph Garcia, number 3. And on the opposite side, we have Felix Garcia, number 26. At the safety positions, we have number 31, Smiley Ibarra, and number 2, Manny Menchaca. At the linebacker position, manning up the middle is big Tony Sanchez, number 42. The outside backers are number 6, Jesse Rodriguez, and number 44, Brandon Reyna. On the defensive line for the Yellow Jackets, it's number 58, Frank Rodriguez. It's also number 99, Jerry Galvan. Luis Garcia. And number 56, John Castillo. So that pretty much rounds up the starting lineup for the Ed Cal Chelsea Yellow Jackets. It's 26 minutes and 3 seconds till the kickoff. The Beeville Trojans have already taken their place back inside. The Jackets are still going through their pregame warm-ups. What do you think of tonight's game, Dave?
Well, it should be a good matchup, but I'm really looking forward to seeing two slot offenses go. You know, this did in high school football, it's a spread offense. It's time to see some good old-fashioned running tonight. Both teams run similar offenses, a mirror match of sorts. So we'll see who gets the advantage.
Well, you know, coming into this game, the Beeville Trojans definitely have, a superior advantage in regards to their offensive output. They've combined for over 5,000 yards of total offense, 2,500 yards rushing, more than 2,500 yards of passing. You could say they're a balanced team. You know, on the opposite end, you look at the Yellow Jackets. They come in with, about maybe 3,500 yards of offense for the year, and most of their yards, 2,600 or so, come from the running game, and then, of course, about 800 or so come from the passing game. Now, do you see that being a factor in today's game?
Well, I think the big X factor for the Beeville Trojans will be number 25, the good 1,000-yard receiver on the year. He's kind of who they look for when they're in trouble, when they need the third and long or so forth. So we'll see how they utilize them, especially the Jackets, with that improved defensive line could shut down the running game early. They might have to rely on him a lot. We'll see what kind of pass rush they can get. If we double team them or not, we'll see what kind of coverage we get in the early going.
Well, it should be a good game. You know, once again, we're here outside. We're in the top row of the stadium. It's chilly. I want to say it's probably in the 50s with the wind chill, bringing it down into the 40s. I have to wonder if this is going to affect the play of either team.
Well, like I said, they're both running teams. I don't think it'll affect that. The field's dry, which is important because there'll be no slipping and sliding. But the passing game, you know, those balls get really hard and slippery. During the game, hard to grip the ball. I think the passing game will affect the passing game most of all.
Well, the Jackets haven't had much trouble gripping the ball very often.
They never do, Buck. let me also add, Buck, that the Jackets won the toss to be the home team this week, which on a neutral site game, many may not see as an advantage. But what it serves is that Beeville, who do not know, is a burnt orange and white jerseys, which when you're in the slot, you lose that brown and white football in those jerseys.
Yes.
But now that they're the away team, they're in the white. So that's, it's a small little advantage. And in the area around, any advantage you can get is a plus.
I've seen the starting quarterback. I want to say he's number one. Sosa, Eric Sosa, he's a tremendous quarterback. I've seen him play on more than one occasion. Obviously, we saw him back in 2005 when the Jackets met, once again, in a similar situation, the area championship game. It was 2005, the Jackets and Beeville. And, of course, he was a freshman then. Now he's a junior. And one thing that I really like about Sosa is his ability to fake the ball and follow through with his fakes, I wouldn't be surprised if I know I'd be caught off guard. I'm following him, the opposite direction. The ball carrier is going the other way. And I do, being that you mentioned the whole issue about the ball and being hidden and so forth, that will play a factor, I think, in this game.
Yeah, sure. Well, he was young, so he's a junior, but he has a lot of experience. Now, of course, I think, you know, Sosa took over the program when he was building it up, when we kind of ran into them 2 years ago. So they're going to have revenge on their minds. But you know what they say, Buck? Revenge only is only on your mind if you get hit in the mouth once. Then yeah, the game's on.
Indeed, indeed. Well, needless to say, there's 22 minutes and 40 seconds remaining on the game clock. Reading till the initial kickoff of tonight's ball game. My clock here reads 7:07. And you're listening to Ed Calchoso Sports Radio. Let's take a quick pause for the cause.
Yeah. red defender hurtles towards the asteroid.
You saved us! How?
I stopped the asteroid and reversed it back into space.
The moon! It's exploded!
Where did you throw that asteroid?
Away.
Saving the world isn't easy. Saving a life is. One pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Go to bloodsaves.com. A public service message brought to you by the Ed Council.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ed Council Sports Radio. I'm your host, Buck, and I'm joined with...
Rob.
Once again, the game clock here reads 17 minutes, 10 seconds until the kickoff. Both teams have already entered into their respective locker rooms. I'm looking around, and it's 7:13, and I'm surprised there's not a lot of people here. You know, I would have been sure that we would have definitely filled up the stadium.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent to the Puebla Vaca Calhoun game last year, where the Vaca actually sat, La Vaca fans, actually sat in some of the jacket side. So, I don't know. It being the holiday weekend, you know, who knows with people out of town and so forth.
Oh, that's true. I looked in the Beeville side, and likewise, it's not the side is not full either. And I'm wondering. Definitely, it has to be the weather playing a factor here. But
sure.
Nonetheless, we have a great ball game here. It's the area championship 4A state playoffs Division 2 at Cal Chelsea Yellow Jackets versus the Beeville Trojans. It is a matchup that has a little bit of history. 2005 was actually the second meeting ever in history, or the first meeting, of course, this being the second meeting. And the Beeville Trojans are coming out. They're looking to avenge themselves, and they have a lot to prove. And for the first time in a while, I think all this season, I guess they were underdogs against West Loco High. But for the second time all season long, the Jackets are actually underdogs in a ball game.
Yeah, definitely. It's a role they're very unfamiliar with. Practically the past few years, we've just come off the 5th district championship, you know, in a row. And people may not know, this is the third area. We're gunning for the third straight area championship as well. This will be the third straight area championship, which is quite an accomplishment.
Indeed it is.
And in Beeville, you have, you know, they're building their tradition. They were tri-champs, district champs this year. You mentioned the playoff run a couple of years ago. Saw someone with a youth a couple of years ago to build this program, and it seems to be paying off, as we see with this 9-2 record and this game here tonight.
Well, you know, in any case, we're looking forward to tonight's ball game as the cheerleaders have taken the field, and it looks like they're going to go ahead and do their traditional welcome cheer. And we're both excited, and we're both freezing right now. And
we all sure for wish the game.
Yeah, all for the love of the game. Once again, I'd like to remind you, if you'd like to send us a shout-out, we are online. You can send a shout-out to radio@eejackets.com. We'd love to hear from you guys. Send us anything.
At the karaoke bar, Greg shows the telltale signs of being wasted. First off, he's in a karaoke bar. On stage, he can't read the lyrics on the monitor. Greg decides to freestyle rap.
It's easy to tell if you've had way too many to drive. But what if you've had just one too many to drive? Never underestimate just a few. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Welcome you back. You're listening to Ed Calchosa Sports Radio. It's really quiet here in Ed Calchosa. It's really quiet here in Abilene Stadium in Kingsville, Texas. 13 minutes and 32 seconds remaining before the kickoff, and it doesn't seem like Yellow Jacket atmosphere.
I think everyone's just frozen. That's what it seems like, and I don't blame them.
Well, you know, I'd like to thank Omar Benavides once again, Bart. He giving us some help here, but unfortunately, Bart, if only you could see the equipment we were working with, you'd probably laugh at us. So, but thanks anyways for your assistance. We're trying our best here, trying to get the clearest signal to you guys possible. I'd also like to send a shout out to, what was the guy's name? Hold on. There we go. Daniel Yarito. He's asking the question, who do you think will win? Well, Daniel, you want to take this one?
Well, the boo, you know, we must, obviously this is an EE broadcast, but we must, you know, we maintain some semblance of professionalism, so you all know where our hearts lie, but we're going to call this game as professionally as we can.
Puro baloney.
But they're both great teams. I think it'll be a great game, so I guess the great game will win, be the winner of the fans who watch the game will be the winner of this game.
Well, you know, I always think of the famous, you've heard that cliche before, the team that puts up the most points, they're the ones that win the game.
Yeah.
Well, no kidding.
Well, obviously, in a game like this, you know, with two evenly matched offenses and defenses, of course, the kicking game, the returns, turnovers will be the key. You win the turnover or the kicking game, you win the game, pretty much that's the way I see it.
Once again, I'd like to remind you that you're listening to Ed Calzosa Sports Radio. We are here live in Kingsville, Texas at Javelina Stadium. We're broadcasting the area championship game between the Ed Calzosa Yellow Jackets and the Beeville Trojans. There are 12 minutes exactly remaining till the initial kickoff. I'd like to also acknowledge that we have 30 listeners out there. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed tonight's game. Now, this broadcast, I should mention, is also brought to you by EEJackets.com.
A great website for those of you all who are into records and history of the Jackets, which is quite a bit of history. I would highly advise check that out. Even those who had relatives who played in the team years back, you may be on there. You may think, well, there's no way I'll be on there. Well, you'll be surprised what you'll find on that website.
And from what I hear, they're looking to expand. They want to make it a living organization. They've been getting a lot of help from George Sines, who is a freelance photographer. He also is a lecturer, I'm not too sure which it is, at STC. He has been a huge contributor. He's class of 1976 to the site. Every week, you know, you've probably seen on the website, you've seen the pictures, George Sines at JBR Digital Imaging, and he's just done a tremendous job with all the images that he's provided. In fact, I look to the sideline and I see him there in his signature yellow beanie. Like to send him a shout out and like to thank him for everything that he's done for EEJackets.com and for the Calzosa community. Because definitely the photos that he's, you know, we submit to the website are free of charge from what I understand, and that in itself could be, you know, hundreds of dollars of
photos.
Yeah,
and they're very high quality, and you can, as a quick trip to the site, well, you'll see that for yourself.
Well, both sides are eagerly waiting, and we have 10 minutes and 20 seconds before the kickoff.
Also, Fonso, for those fans who may not be in there, La Jolla won their area game 28-14 over PSJA. So, you know, congratulations to them, you know, and they'll go on to the next round.
Wow, that's that La Jolla won?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, after a tumultuous season. After a tumultuous season for Leonel Casas, you know, he came in, I believe, in August or June or somewhere around there, and then he had, you know, These situations just come in such a difficult, but he's in the third round of the playoffs, so congratulations to him and on the job well done.
Well, you know, that in itself is definitely a tremendous feat. La Jolla was already counted out. I believe they finished the record at 5-6 or something.
4-6, actually. They're now six and six, so they actually have 500 now, so again, hats off to them on a job well done in the postseason.
Yeah, definitely. But of course, we have something of even greater importance right now at hand, the Ed Couch Beeville game. This is of even greater importance to all those listeners out there. I'm sure we have mostly Yellow Jacket fans, but of course, I wouldn't be surprised if there are some Beeville Trojan fans out there listening.
Yep, sure are. You just missed the cheer, the Beeville cheer. It was quite a sight and sound. I've never seen that where the crowd participates in the hello cheer. It was quite a sight to behold for those of you who weren't here, and pretty loud. I was impressed.
Well, moments ago, the coaches walked right past us up into the booth. It was Coach Milo Garcia and Jesse Garza as they assumed their responsibilities inside the press booth as far as helping spot defenses and make offensive calls and so forth. And we're definitely waiting now for the defensive coaches to pass by as they too soon will take their role. As the game clock continues to roll at 8 minutes and 30 seconds till the kickoff, and we're both eagerly awaiting, as are probably about close to 5,000-6,000 people in the stadium combined are waiting for their respective teams to take the field.
Yeah, and I see the Bevo crowd. You mentioned earlier the Bevo crowd is up and around. They're shouting. We're kind of not. I think we're kind of just cold. But we'll see. You know, the only people on the field are 11 guys. With 11 guys, so
you're absolutely
that's
right.
That's the good thing about football.
It doesn't matter whether the fans are cold. The bottom line is who's hot on the field, And I'm sure the Yellow Jackets, their strategy will be to strike and strike quick and strike hard.
Oh yeah, you're back in the day when you played. It's cold the first play, and you know you forget the rest of the game. So
you are pretty much.
I don't think it was much of a factor.
Well, we'll go ahead and take a quick pause as the PA system announcer is asking or calling for a moment of silence here at Kingsville Stadium in Javelina Stadium in Kingsville, Texas. Salutations, as you can hear nice and loud and clear, both sides are erupting. Both teams have taken their assumed the position in preparation for the playing of the national anthem. Now I'm starting to see some of that excitement.
Oh yeah, definitely. Once the teams come out, you know, you can feel it.
Well, there's 5 minutes and 24 seconds remaining in the game clock before the kickoff, and it should be a good one. It should be a good one. Right now, the Jacket Band is playing the alma mater, and it just concluded, and we're looking forward to tonight's ballgame.
Both teams look relaxed. I don't know if it's the cold or what, but you know, usually see whooping and hollering, but you know, the Jackets haven't done that all year, and the people have the same style, that relaxed, calm poise, so we'll see how that plays out in the first quarter.
Well, I know some of the in-capsules of coaches frown upon the whole whooping and hollering and stuff, and part of the reason is, you know, what's the point of making a lot of noise if you're not going to back it up in the field?
That's true. It's a mental style. It's a different team every year, as you know. It's you know, some years you have to holler, some years you don't. It doesn't really matter. As long as the performance is what counts, and the leadership in the huddle on both sides of the ball is what counts.
And in fact, going back to the defense and the offense, let's talk a little about senior leadership, because this head coach also team is a young team. You know, that's been one of the reasons why Hitney Harris. Poll has them as 10-point underdogs against Beeville is part of the fact because this is a young team.
That is correct. You know, I remember last week when the seniors were captains, there was about 10 players in the field, you know, and everyone just had their eyes looking to the future when they saw those few seniors. But the few that we do have been tremendous. Remember Jerry last week.
Well, we're going to go take a pause and play the national anthem.
Alcohol affects kids differently, okay? When kids drink, it's more dangerous. And you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
Look, son, I'm trying to help. I've seen what it does. I mean, you may think you can handle it, but when you drink, it screws up your judgment. Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens. Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad.
I'd like to welcome you back. I'd like to also apologize. I think we were off the air for about a minute or so. In haste to get the national anthem playing, I think I might have pressed the wrong button, which resulted in some silence, but we're back. The national anthem is played, and there's a minute and 20 seconds remaining before the kickoff. And I believe my partner here, Rob, had something to say.
Oh, yeah, we're talking about the seniors. There's very few, but the few that we do have, again, they're not the hoop and holler type, but they do play big roles. Last week, when we needed the big stop, Jerry got that big sack on third down, which was key to that game when Alex was driving at the end there. And Ronnie Perez, after a couple of heartbreaking drops earlier in the game, came back with big catches in that last game go-ahead drive. So, and then when there's also maybe the unsung hero of the offense is Anthony Pettis Young, a fullback. You know, he gets about 5-6 yards a carry. Everyone says, well, you know, what's the big deal? Well, that little 5-yard gain allows Roger and the other guys to get free for the bigger runs.
Indeed.
But he plays a key role, that 1-2 punch.
And we're hoping that today's seniors or the senior leadership will stand through as they're taking on a very tough Beeville team, and both teams have taken their respective inflatables, and they're just awaiting the traditional running to their sidelines as the clock continues to click down. There is 20 seconds remaining, and I also noticed both teams have their captains on the respective sidelines. They're awaiting the coin flip. Well, the game clock has expired here at Javelina Stadium in Kingsville, Texas. You're listening to Head Count Chelsea Sports Radio. And once again, it is brought to you by EEJackets.com. And I'd like to thank you guys that are out there tuning in. Of course, there was a lot of confusion this week. Earlier in the week, there was uncertainty whether this broadcast was going to be available. But, you know, we needed to do whatever we needed to do in order to get it done. It took a little improvisation, but I think we got it done. And, you know, we're not here in the press box. We're over here in the stands with the crowd. But nonetheless, we are here. And I hope you guys enjoy this broadcast. Well, the Beeville side erupts as the Trojans now are taking their sideline. And they look fired up. They look fired up. We're expecting the same sort of enthusiasm from the Jackets as in a moment. They're moments away from taking their respective sideline as well. They go through their traditional walk into the field. Now they've sprinted to the middle. They're now on the 50-yard line, and they are equally as fired up. Let's just hope that this enthusiasm carries on to the game as both captains from both teams are once again awaiting the coin flip. You know, one thing that I look forward to today is the play of number one quarterback, Eric Dino. He's definitely been a tremendous asset over the past couple of games, especially, you know, he's been primarily a threat on the run, but for the past two games, he's had close to 200 yards of passing in both games against Mission Veterans, which was the final regular season game, as well as against the Alice, which was the bi-district game. And, you know, do you expect them to, you know, for him to have the same sort of performance?
Definitely a rising star throughout the year, mainly with his legs, primarily early in the year. But as of last week, Alice appeared to put a spy on him, which shut down his runs. They basically said, okay, Nino, beat us with your arm. And, well, he did, as he said. So, you know, he's been improving as the year goes. He's a young first-time starter, you know, as a typical young guy, and he's improved throughout the year. We'll see how he does tonight.
Well, both teams are now have not met in the, or excuse me, both captains have now met in the middle of the field. The half is going through the coin flip.
What did he call? Say it loud. It is a tail. One hot tail.
A very enthusiastic referee.
Yeah, yes. Appears to be a Ferris Bueller model of TT. It seems like.
Well, you know, definitely when your voice is broadcast to over 5,000-6,000 people in a huge stadium such as Javelina Stadium, I too would probably be talking very slow and careful with what I say. I'd hate to stutter and make a fool of myself in front of this many people.
Of course.
Well, both sides are up, and it appears who won the toss.
Pretty good. I don't know if Vivo seems happy. They seem to be getting their kickoff team ready, but we shall see. By the jumping around in the sideline, the huddle, I would see it look like a kickoff team. There's a couple of wedge breakers over there.
Indeed, I see the big line, the big unit, the front five taking the field for the Jackets. It's 54, Nano Torres, followed by Big Tony, number 42, Jerry, number 99, Jerry Galvan. Appears to be, I'm not sure who number 83 is, but over there is also number 68, Saldana. And deep to receive for the Jackets is number 2, Manny Menchaca, and number 32, Roger Garcia. Both of them are definitely a threat, and hopefully they can take it far.
There you go, Vivo lining up the kickoff. Lined up, number 11 for the Trojans kicking off. And we are on our way, folks. Kick taken by number Menchaca on the 5. Hey, got the middle of the wedge, take it to the left, has a space, the 30, 35. Oh, great return by Manny Menchaca, sophomore, one of the great young stars of the Jackets. Little thin, little inexperienced, but he's doing a great job so far, and we're looking forward to having him 2 more years. Down to the 38-yard line, it'll be 1st and 10 off the left hash. Eric Nino joins the huddle for the team.
Yeah, you know, every time Menchaca gets the ball, you expect good things to happen. He's got speed, but like you said, he's young, and so, you know, we're looking forward to the next 2 years with the kid.
Sure. Here come the Jackets in the familiar slot formation. Anthony Young behind the quarterback, Nino under center. Roger Garcia on the slot. 1st and 10 on the 38-yard line. There's a snap. Perez Young, fumble the ball, gets a good yard. Nice 7-yard gain by Anthony Perez Young down to about the 44-yard line. It'll be about 2nd and 4. Nice first down gain. Okay, it's good to see them getting established early in the game. Something they didn't do last week against Alice.
Yeah, it's, Anthony's been a major part of the offense all year, and so I think having him and using him helps.
There you go, in a familiar slot formation, here come the Jackets. Garcia and Young in the backfield, the broken eye. Nino under center. 2nd and 4. Toss to the right. Oh, flag on the field. It'll probably be false start more than likely on the Jackets, which is a key unforced error, something we cannot make in this game, an unforced error.
Now, the deeper you get in the playoffs, the fewer errors you need to make. You can afford to make.
I do want to let you know that I'm sure you're hearing some unfamiliar voices. We're actually joined finally by our third. Yes, we have 3 hosts today. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Well, I'm Jay. I was a part of the program last week, and so I'm glad to be back, glad to be able to take part again.
Well, as it's 2nd and 9 from the Jacket 39-yard line, the Jackets are looking to get a big play here as they... Oh, another penalty. Another penalty.
It's going to be a combination of the Colts and the playoff jitters for a lot of these young players out there. But they're not going to win this game making unforced errors like that.
Indeed, no, they're not.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to start the game like this. Last week...
Well, as I'm sure you probably already heard, it was a false start against the Yellow Jackets. That'll take them back an additional 5 yards. It brings up a 2nd and 14 for the Yellow Jackets, and this is not the way they wanted to start the initial drive. Now they pin themselves deep, and, well, they have opted to go to the spread offense.
Reverse to the right and to the left. Eric Nino once again in shotgun. Appears to be changing the play. Takes the snap. Drops back. Has a receiver open in the flats, but he opts not to throw it, and he is sacked. He is brought down. Well, after two back-to-back penalties that were, you know, just a result of shooting yourself in the foot, more than likely, I have to wonder, besides the playoff jitters, it's probably the coldness, you know, as well as the fact that the Beagle side is you know, despite there's not a lot of people in the stands, they're getting pretty loud. They're pretty excited.
Yeah, what they can't do is let the crowd get into the team and become a factor. They need to take them out early in this game. If not, it could be a long night.
Well, it brings up third and about 17 as Nino drops back to pass. He has a receiver open in the middle. Ronnie Pettis, catch! Close to the first down.
Looks like he's brought down a little short, maybe about 2 yards shy of the first down.
But he did. Well, the important thing is he caught that ball. If you remember last week, they went with an early game drop. So, again, we got young established. We got to catch the ball. It didn't turn out great this drive, but I think some encouraging signs for Jacket fans in this drive.
Well, it did set up the tempo. I mean, it was a slow start, but, you know, the Jackets will have to punt. But, you know, it was definitely left it. At least they finished it fairly good note. And now it'll be the defense's turn.
Yeah, defense, which was, you know, kind of... I don't want to say, but people were criticized early in the year, but boy, did they make strides in the second half of the season. Ended up first in the district, so you know, kind of the Jacket football defense and stay the same way this year.
Well, number 9, Miguel Garcia with a punt.
Good coverage.
Fairly good punt, almost about 35 to 40 yards. A short return, probably about 2 yards, and the Beeville Trojans will start from their own 21-yard line, first and 10.
You know, people are wondering, you know, if we could replace first team all-state punter Eric Fox, the punter, but he's doing a great job. This is the new one.
Well, the Trojans will take over. It brings up a first and 10 from, once again, their own 21-yard line. And,
I'll do second half.
Okay. And they are once again starting the short formation. It's a quick pitch. It looks to be a reverse. Oh, it's a flea flicker. Reverse. But the Jackets had the coverage there. And no good.
Great. This is a by play? Secondary. It was a reverse pass that looked like, but kind of confusing. Great discipline by the secondary. They watched their man and not the backfield, and that was a great job, discipline, and they stuffed it out.
Just to kind of explain to you what happened, it was you had the receiver in motion. It was a handoff to the right. He gave the reverse to the receiver from the right coming back to the left. He pitched it back to the quarterback. The quarterback made a heave deep, but we did have, it appeared to be, a number 2, Manny Menchaca, in coverage, and he was there to break up the pass. It'll bring up a second and 10, and the Jacket defense is getting their alignment. They have a lot on the line, and it looks like Beeville's coming out with some trickery. It's a handoff to the right. Number 56, John Castillo on the tackle.
Randy looks out so far, Buck. On the first play, we have the defensive end there showing the great discipline, not biting on the fake, and now we have a good stuff on the spot. So, again, it's third and long. We'll see if 25 come from Beeville comes into play here. That's their go-to guy when they need long plays.
Well, for the second consecutive play, Beeville has come out as something that, you know, the coaches, I'm sure, from Edcouch have not seen. Trickery, and, you know, I don't know why they're doing that. Do they feel like that's what they need to do to win?
Well, you know, I mean, you know, we don't want to criticize other coaches, but that was his decision. You got to wonder why, but, you know, it's his decision. He's 9-2, so, you know. I guess that his players trust him, but you have to wonder what message it sends to your team, though, you know? Well, having out with trickery in the first few plays.
Well, it was a third down play, and Sosa had a receiver open in the flats. He tossed the ball. Fortunately, though, the pressure did get to him. The ball was a little overthrown, incomplete, and it brings up fourth and about 9, and Beeville will send their punting unit on the team. But well, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if it's a fake.
Well, they're awfully deep, but you never know. He showed his, bringing the guns ablaze in the night, so you never know. Although he is very deep in his own territory.
Well, this is a playoff game. You can't hold back, certainly.
Sure is. You lose, you go home. It's the rule.
Well, the snap and the kick. A very high kick.
Fair catch.
Crosses midfield. Roger, fair catch.
Good field position. We'll see this drive. You know, the defense look good. Offense look good, with the exception of those unforced errors. I think you limit those errors. I think we have a good drive going. So, very encouraging for the Jacket fans early on.
Well, the Jackets will start from their own 43-yard line. And it'll be first and 10. Once again, you're listening to Ed Calchosa Sports Radio, sponsored by EEJackets.com. There's 8 minutes and 9 seconds remaining in the first quarter. For those of you just joining us, this is the area matchup between Ed Calchosa and V-Ville. Nino and Shotgun, hands off, and the Jackets have their own trickery. A reverse to Manny Machaca. He's going. He could be gone.
Oh.
He is brought down.
Nice overfield tackle there by number 10. Touchdown saving tackle by number 10 of V-Ville.
Well, the Jackets came back with their own trickery.
Well, you know, hey, it's, coaching is a monkey-see-monkey profession. You know how it is. So, hey, you want to bring the tricks, we'll bring ours, too. Nice wrinkle they added in, I guess, this week by the post-release and the staff. Nice wrinkle, and it worked. Big game.
It was a reverse. It was a handoff to Roger Garcia, who then handed off to Manny Menchaca on the reverse, and he took it about 20 yards, and it's first and 10 from the B-Ville 35-yard line. Handoff, number 32, Roger, scampers for some yards. It's a short gain. It'll bring up second down and about 8.
Yeah, for those at home who have never seen Roger, I had the pleasure of seeing Roger Garcia run. I guess his style is comparable in college, something to like an Ian Johnson out of the Boise State. He won't have those 80-yard runs, but he has great vision, and he'll get 10, 15 yards, and that adds up.
I agree. Your average back would probably maybe get a no gain, maybe a loss, and he could turn it into 2 yards.
Correct.
Well, on the second down play, Neil drops back the pass. This is one tackler. Has the receiver open. Ari Taguma.
Taguma already backed into the game early. That's what the police wanted, and that's what we got so far.
It was a big pass play, almost about 22 to 24 yards. Takes the Yellow Jackets down to the 7-yard line of the B-Ville Trojans.
Wow. Again, already wanted to be a factor, and he is. He was with the Tiger last year in the area on as well, and this year it looks like again. Getting him involved early is what you got to do. Get your playmakers involved early.
Well, the Jackets definitely need a score. They want a score. This would be a great way to start the first quarter. It's 7 minutes, 10 seconds remaining, and the Jackets are at the B-Ville 7-yard line. Eric Bingham, quarterback keeper, takes it up 7 yards. Touchdown. Yellow Jackets.
Wow, what a great drive there, Buck. What a way to start the game. The defense shut him down. They come to score. Like I said, revenge is a good idea until you get hit in the mouth.
This is for Coco, one of my previous announcers. He loved to say, Golazo!
And again, Buck, not to put any to criticize anybody's, it's not easier here in the booth than on the sideline, but you have to wonder that why go to the trickery so early in the game for the Trojans, you know?
Once again, you can't hold back. What better way what point is it if you're down to use your trickery? Might as well use it to gain an advantage, and definitely it did gain a huge advantage. The Jackets are now up after the PAT, 7-0.
Correct, and on the flip side of that, great discipline showed during those trick plays by the Yellow Jackets. I guess Garcia and the staff did a great job of preparing for ready for anything this week. So nice job by them, great discipline showed on those trick plays.
Well, once again, you're listening to Ed Calchosa Sports Radio, sponsored by EEJackets.com. With 7 minutes and 7 seconds remaining in the first quarter, your score is Ed Calchosa 7, B-Ville 0. We'll take a quick pause for the cause as the Jackets are taking the field to kick the ball off.
You've got to help us. Mole Man has fired his darkening missile towards the sun. It'll put the world in shadow.
Don't worry. Too late to catch the missile. I'll just fly quickly around the Earth in reverse time.
The Red Defender begins to circle the Earth faster and faster until his momentum literally changes Earth's rotation on its axis.
I'm back, citizens. No need to thank me. Strange. It's dark in the middle of the afternoon. And where is everyone? You, old man, with a flashlight.
I was young just a minute ago.
I must have gone the wrong way and sped up time. Whoops. Sorry about that.
Saving the world isn't easy. Saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. To find out more, go to bloodsaves.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ed Couch, also Sports Radio. For those of you just joining us, the Jackets, after their second drive, the first drive was a punt, but they took their second drive, used a little bit of trickery, but nonetheless, we managed to capitalize, and we have a 7-0. 7-0. That was a little bit of chill and cold there.
Yeah.
7.
Yeah, but I expect Beville to go back to a normal, more standard. What got him here to the dance in this drive right here. So we'll see how the Deccas defend that.
Well, this will be the test that will determine whether what kind of outcome we will, you know, or we'll have tonight. You know, what can Beville do on their next possession?
There appears to be a flag on the field. I'm not sure what it is.
Well, the ball was kicked, and it was kicked about the 20-yard line with about an 8-yard return, but that flag is in that zone where it looks like it's a
block in the back or a holding, possibly.
Well, it's really deep. It's got to be an offside,
more than likely, correct?
Yes, definitely.
Sorry, I didn't see it there. It's kind of hard. It's a big stadium.
Well, the question in hand is, will the Yellow Jackets, will the Beville Trojans take the ball as it is, which is about the 31-yard line, or will they force the Jackets to kick
offside
again?
On the kick team, we'll have 5 yards to the end of the run. First down.
Oh, I guess it's a new option here, which I think is a good option, that you can take it from the end of the run. So, 5 yards, key 5 yards of field position. We'll see how it'll be. Here comes Beville. Sosa, number 18, is his QB. Looks a lot bigger than he did as a freshman, I can tell you that much. The boy has hit the weight room and has grown, and I'm ready to play.
Well, once again, looking here at the email, you can email us at radio@eejackets.com. We do have an email from Leo Science. We are indeed outside, which is part of the reason why you hear the crowd noise and the interference. We don't have any windscreens. We just have standard mics, which, of course, would explain the fact that there's a lot of wind jitter. We will try to make a more conscious effort of trying to cover our mics to prevent this noise. But thank you, Leo Science. Well, it's a first and 10 from the 36-yard line. Beville hands off up the middle, and the Jackets are there to stuff it.
Wow, great job by that defensive tackle there. Now this is a key drive. Beville needs to answer the EE touchdown, which looked, you know, fairly easy by football standards. So we'll see how they react. You know, it's still very early, but it's still a key drive. Though it is very early.
Indeed, it is. As the clock continues to run, 6 minutes 33 seconds, and it'll bring up a 2nd and 10 from the 36-yard line. And once again, another shout out from Norma L. Bettis. And she's sending a shout out to Ronnie Bettis, number 11. Unfortunately, she has the flu. She was unable to make it. But once again, we're glad you had a chance to tune in to tonight's ball game. Well, it's 2nd down. Sosa rolls out to pass, throws it deep, has a receiver open, catches it. It's a huge game.
It appears that Sage lost track of the receiver when he rolled out. Sosa is a dangerous runner, so that kind of, you know, put the safety in a run pass bind, and he took advantage of that.
Well, let's not negate the fact that was a tremendous catch. The receiver was practically running backwards.
Falling backwards, actually.
He was running backwards. He made a tremendous catch. Well, in any case, it brings up a first down after a huge gain. It's almost about a 35-yard gain. The Jackets are on the 30. Beville's on the 30-yard line of... Hey, do me a favor. Stop calling. You're distracting me. You know who you are. Stop calling me.
Oh, big run here. Big gain. Out of slot back.
I don't even know what I'm saying because I'm getting phone call after phone call. I can't. If you want to talk to me, send me an email. That's the best way. I cannot answer your phone call right now. All right? You know who you are.
big game there on a sweet buck. Another first down in the red zone for the first time. We said they need to answer it. Well, they are. So we'll see if they can finish off the drive.
Well, we just got a text response from Ernesto Ayala, who I think is tuning in. He appears to tell me that we are the only ones carrying this game. So that is a great note for all you fans out there that are listening, as we now have 56 listeners. Well, it was a 2nd and about 8, and quarterback Sosa dropped back to pass. He threw a beautiful pass to his tight end into the end zone. Touchdown.
To number 25, the go-to guy. Strikes
indeed
early.
He is the go-to guy.
You know, and it's not like he was wide open there, but he was covered, but he just made a tremendous athletic play. He jumped up and got the ball. There was, I believe, a safety in the corner or a linebacker in his way, and just a great athlete. It's hard to defend sometimes.
Indeed it was. And in fact, was that number 25 as well?
I believe it was 25.
Well, number 25 making two huge catches, if it was him, on this drive, right, and made it possible for Beville to put up some points on the board. And pending the PAT, it will be 7-7. 7-7 ball game with 5 minutes and 37 seconds remaining in the first quarter. We have a ball game.
That's correct. Beagle go to the passing game. The running game was not really there, but the passing game surely was. Big number 25. Again, like I said, he wasn't exactly wide open. He was kind of covered, but a great athletic play jumping for the ball. It appeared that Solstad pushed the ball high for his athleticism to make the play, and it's worked both times.
Well, once again, another shout out here going from it appears to be Erica Trejo, who if I understand this email correctly, she works for McDonald's, and she is waiting for an update.
That's some good food over there.
McDonald's. I love McDonald's.
It's real time, baby.
I wonder if the LC McDonald's will hook us up.
Hey, if McDonald's, if the manager of the National, is, hey, make the McRib all year round, man. Come on.
Qué sabroso.
We need that McRib all year long.
Well, it is a 7-7 ball game, 5:37 remaining in the first quarter. The Beeville Trojans have just scored after about a 15-yard touchdown pass to number 25, which would have made his second consecutive reception for a huge gain. And this is exactly what Beeville needed to do. They came out, they got their second drive of the game, and they took it, just like the Jackets got their second drive of the game.
Well, you know, they're 9-2 district champs for a reason. They're not going to lie down just because you score a touchdown. They're going to fight right back, and looks like we're in for a hard ball game today, tonight.
Well, we can't have any hesitation by the Jackets as they are about to take their third possession. With the kickoff, it is deep to number 32. Roger Garcia takes it at the 5, cuts outside to the 20, 25, tackled about the 28-yard line.
Showing some of that vision we talked about earlier. You know, he might have zigged and zagged an awful lot and had a good return.
Once again, for those of you that would like to send one of us a message, or if you'd like a shout-out, please send your messages to radio@eejackets.com. We'd love to hear from you. Once again, another David Yarito. Daniel Yarito. He's a PSJ Bears fan, but he is going for the Jackets because of his grandma. Well, thanks. Daniel, we appreciate you listening and lending your support to the Yellow Jackets.
Yeah, and congratulations on a great season over there at PSJ High, too. Melesio Rios and Stavs did a nice job this year. It ended a little bit earlier, but, you know, that's the way the ball bounces sometimes.
Well, it brings up a 1st and 10, and Roger, with a run to the right, picks up a significant gain. And
rolled down, I believe. The referees are blowing it down.
There appears to have been a fumble on the play, and the Beeville side erupts. But now you hear the boos as the refs...
It was whistled down, I believe.
Whistled it down.
No, we played in high school, so... But the ref says goes.
Indeed it does.
So far, it seems to be a pretty good game. You know, they're letting him play, which I really like. You know, I like that kind of style.
Once again, another shout-out to Jose Sanchez, who is also sick. And it's you. You know what? I'm glad you didn't come if you were sick.
It's that season of the illnesses.
You probably wouldn't want to be out here if you were sick.
And your stumbles...
Well, it's a second down play. Quarterback rolls to the left, and he is just...
That play was dead as soon as he stumbled on that from that first ball. You know, threw him off timing.
A barrage of Beeville Trojans on the... He did a good job. He made about 3 guys miss, but, you know, it's that fourth guy. He just couldn't make miss.
Great pursuit by Beeville, not giving up on the play. That's why they got him.
And he's brought down for a loss. It takes it back to the original line of scrimmage, which now brings up a 3rd and about 10.
Which we're more than likely to see the spread formation here. I would assume you would see the spread formation with a 3rd and long, as it would in most teams playing.
Once again, this is a big conversion for the Ed Couch Yellow Jackets. And indeed, there is the,
A little different look, an A slot look with a tight end Taguma in the tight end position, which I'm a big fan of, I really like.
Quarterback drops back to pass, steps up for the pressure. Cuts right, cuts left.
Oh, couldn't get away from that last man. Nice open field tackle there by number 2, looks like, from the Trojans. Nino might need to take down open field, but he did.
Nino manages to escape that tackle. He has the first down.
Nice open field tackle there by a linebacker.
He doesn't get it, and it'll bring up a 4th down, and the punting unit is on the field.
Yeah, like we said earlier, now the crowd's getting to the game. The Jackets cannot allow that to happen, you know. Hopefully we'll see what comes up in this next series. A key series for the defense now. Last series was key for the offense, now it's key for the EE defense.
Well, we will definitely need a big defensive step for the Jackets as Miguel Garcia, number 9, punts the ball and he shanks it.
A good bounce, though.
He shanks it and it's a net punt of about 13, 14 yards.
Ah.
He is punting against the wind, But, you know, this is actually his second punt, and his first punt was, you know, the wind did not have that type of interference. It was just a bad punt.
Yeah, you have to wonder how the Beaverville passing game will do against this wind in the next quarter. So we'll see how that plays out.
Indeed, as Beaverville will take the ball for the fourth time, they'll start from their own 50-yard line.
Yeah, you would guess that Sosa would want to establish a run in this series. You know, they can establish the pass, maybe they're softening up, and they come out in the spread. So much, well, I guess I was wrong.
Well, you can always run from the spread. It's a good way to spread out the defense. But nope, they're dropping back to pass. Sosa, as the receiver, throws it over his head.
Nice coverage there by number 3, looks Garcia, and I believe number 10, looks like. They had a bracket there. Good coverage there by both those young men. I kind of threw it away, you know, didn't want to risk an interception, it kind of looked like to me. That would be the ball, the ball kind of the wind.
Well, brings up a 2nd and 10, once again from the 50-yard line, as the Beavos Trojans go into a trips formation, trips right, and once again, Sosa in a shotgun formation, hands off, up the middle, and he stopped.
Flag on the play. Could possibly be a face mask or possibly a holding. Have to wait and see. If it's a face, that's going to be the 5-yard variety because I didn't see anything pull him down. Looks like holding.
Well, it will, pending the penalty, it'll bring up as I'm sure you've heard, it was a face mask. It's of the 5-yard variety, and it will it'll bring up about a second and five.
That's a tough break. You know, a young man is trying to make a tackle, and it just, you know, but the ref got to call that. It's a face mask. A face mask is one of those pretty black and white rules. So, unfortunate break for the Jackets there.
Well, it'll bring up a second and short, probably about 4 yards, as the Jackets. Defense looks to stop them here as they have really good field position after the bad punt. But there appears to be some confusion in the secondary. So as Sosa rolls out to pass to the right, in and out of the hands. It looked like it bounced off the receiver's knee.
Yeah, Buck, you mentioned the confusion. They actually went there with a waggle motion there, back and forth, and the receiver probably trying to get a matchup or probably trying to identify the coverage there. Maybe it's something saw on film or so forth, but we don't know. But Sosa using motion, probably trying to get a matchup he wants somewhere in the secondary.
Well, you know, definitely, even at a high school level, you have quarterbacks that are capable of reading the defense, identifying the secondary, and finding the open receiver.
Oh, yeah, you know, and people may laugh, but, you know, games like Madden and NCAA have played a role in that. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but it's true. People can recognize coverages now because of what they see on the screen.
Well, brings up a 3rd and short. Quick pass. Ooh. First down.
It appeared, Buck, that he appeared uncovered. I don't know if that was an error or a misassignment, but he appeared uncovered in the slot there for an easy game.
It was a quick slant into the inside, and
possibly a misassignment, it looked like. Maybe that motion they've been using, kind of, you know, throwing the Jackets off kilter there.
Well, it'll bring up a first down once again from the Jacket 34-yard line as the clock continues to run. 2 minutes and 27 seconds left in the first quarter, and your score is Ed Calchelsa 7, Beaverville 7. And Beaverville is threatening once again inside Ed Calchelsa territory. Quick motion, fakes the handoff, Sosa drops back the pass, has the receiver wide open!
Oh!
Intercepted! Oh my goodness!
Great defense.
With a nice return.
Wow, great defense there by Wabri. The Menchaca looked like free safety. Incredible defensive play. That was a touchdown.
The safety is one step slower. It's a touchdown. In fact, it was in his hands.
Yeah.
The safety made a diving tackle. And he like swings the Beaver receiver. The Beaver receiver flings the ball up into the air.
He kicked the ball up in the air, I believe.
It
looked like. And who got the pick? I'm not really sure.
Yeah,
but
I wouldn't be surprised if it was number 26, Felix Garcia.
Felix Garcia with Johnny on the spot there, picking up the pick. And
he is leading the Jacket defense in picks. Definitely a big interception because now it stops the drive. And the Jackets now take over 1st and 10 from their own 31-yard line. First play of scrimmage. Run to the left. Has some yardage, but he fights.
Wow, Garcia with a tough run. Not a very big man, but some extracurriculars going on here.
Oh, well, as that penalty flag is thrown, we'll take a quick pause for the cause.
Son, you know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
You're too young. You're still growing.
I know.
When you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt.
I know, I know.
Listen, this is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens. Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. Learn more at StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I'd like to welcome you back. You're listening to Ed Calchosa Sports Radio. We received another shout-out. This shout-out coming from Mark Anthony Leal, listening down there in Elsa, Texas. What's going on, Mark? Well, it'll bring up a second and short from the 41-yard line, second and about one. And the Jackets, after a tremendous interception, returned it back about 30 yards. It was a potential touchdown play after the pick, and the Jackets now looking to put a score on the boards. Hand off to the right to Ryan Pettis, has room, avoids one tackle.
First down appears to be.
Indeed, it is a first down.
Again and again, Buck, the use of Ryan and of Anthony Pettis Young kind of gives you, he takes away from Eugene Roger every down, keeps him fresh later on in the game.
Well, it is a Jacket first down. It's now retain possession at the 44-yard line of their own territory, and the clock continues to roll. 1 minute, 22 seconds left in the first quarter, and the Jackets look poised. They look poised to score.
Yeah, it's kind of been a trademark all year, not bending under pressure. It's going well so far.
In a tight formation, it's a trap up the middle, nothing. You know, the Jackets, that used to be a bread and butter play for the Jackets, that trap up the middle. But over the past 3 weeks, they've just managed to just stop that play. And the Jackets haven't had much success with that play.
Yeah, actually, this running game that we're displaying today, it's been the best of the past, the first time in 3 weeks, basically. So I'm sure Solis is happy that he's got that. He's more of a slot coach, and I'm sure he's glad that that's working for him so far.
Well,
not that play, but so far it hasn't working.
It was Ronnie Bennis on the carry. He picks up 0 yards. It's a no gain. It brings up a second and 10. And in this situation, with the way things are going, you'd hate to see the Jackets, waste an opportunity like that. You know, the game clock counts down as the crowd begins to yell to hurry. 4 seconds, 3, 2. The snap is off. It's good. Nino drop back to pass.
That's
Dagumba open wide.
Oh,
in and out of his hands.
A rare drop by Dagumba. You have to wonder if the weather's playing a factor there. This cold weather, cold hands, hard hands.
That was a sure touchdown pass. He had an additional maybe 15 yards to run after the reception, but given that there was only one guy in there, he probably would have dragged the defender into the end zone, but it just bounces out of his hands. It was a difficult catch. He had to turn over the opposite shoulder to reach for the ball, but nonetheless, you know, he is a sure-handed receiver.
Yeah, sure. It was a great throw by Nino, whose throwing is really mature throughout the season. You know, he's always had that strength, but now he's gaining that touch. That's so important in today's passing game.
And definitely that'll be a key to success, as now Jackets have 3rd and 10 once again from their own 43-yard line. And in a tight formation, they fake the handoff. It appears to be an option, and it goes nowhere. It goes nowhere. Fans are upset. They wanted a pass play. But coach goes to the option, and it is maybe for a gain of about 2. It'll bring a fourth down.
Kind of like they're going for something play action there, but kind of looks like, I don't know, somebody may have gone the wrong way or something. Not really sure. Vivo wisely takes a timeout to have a punt into the wind.
Yep, and that was a factor, or appears to have been a factor. It actually wasn't a factor the first punt, but it may have been a factor in the second punt. It was a net punt of about 13 yards after his first punt was a net yard of about 35 to 40.
You also have to wonder, not to make any excuses for anybody, but you know, that long pass, you have to wonder, the wind kind of moves the trajectory of the ball with the going to Dagumba, kind of throw his side off, you know, because he usually is very sure-handed.
Indeed he is. But, you know, once again, the way, the angle at which he was running, he was out in a full sprint, you know, and he had arms extended and stuff, and it was difficult. It was difficult.
Sure it was.
Well, we'll go ahead and take a quick break as the timeout continues. 7.8 seconds remaining in the first quarter. You're listening to Ed Couch, Elsa Sports Radio.
I like to move it. I like to move it. I like to move it. Yeah, I like to move it. in the world. Original King Julian from the casement. I love how all the girls move their body. And when you move your body, you don't move it nice and sweet and sassy. Alright? Woman, you're cute, and you don't need no makeup. Original cute body makeup on model. Woman, you're cute, and you don't need no makeup. Original cute body makeup on model. Woman, physically fit, physically fit, physically, physically, physically.
Well, we got back from a punt. It actually hit a beetle blocker, the returner alertly fell the ball, but still.
Well, it was a good punt. It was against the wind, about 35 yards, and that concludes the first quarter. Your score, Head Count 7, Beeville 7, and what did the Jackets need to do to pull out a victory here?
Well, you know, I think the key, that the big story is the unforced error. It's kind of like last week against Alice, you know, the penalties, drop passes. I think if you correct that, I think we're in good shape. Now, Indonesian Bevo comes out here with, they were throwing the ball so much in the first quarter. We'll see now that they're going into the stiff wind.
The second quarter is set to start as the Yellow Jackets defense looks to put a stop here on the Beagle Trojans. And the Trojans will take over approximately at the 20-yard line. It'll be first and 10. There appears to be some controversy. Not sure what exactly was going on, but definitely once we find out what the situation is, we will inform.
Well, the referee appeared to have placed the ball on the 20, which it was clearly on about the 13-yard line on the other on the previous.
Well, they were probably saying it was because he was touched. It did come close to touching him, which is probably why they spotted at the 20-yard line. Well, it's a big play, run to the left.
Nice Beagle tackle
response.
There. 31 with a game save, touchdown saving tackle there from the Jackets.
Well, regardless of the spot, the fans here were yelling. It should have claimed that it should have been spotted at the 13, but it was spotted at the 20. Needless to say, the Trojans take it nearly out to the 39-yard line. Big pickup there.
Yeah, the only thing I can think about is that they ruled that a Jacket player must have touched the ball as well on the 20. That's the only thing I can think of. Beto sticking with his spread formation, which is very uncharacteristic for them.
Well, it'll bring up first down, and was that a pass? Or?
Pass.
Well, it appears that we were having a little bit of difficulties here. I think I've corrected the problem. For those of you that were sending me emails and making comments about the fact that there was a lot of distortion, I think I've managed to correct the problem here. Hopefully now you'll be able to hear better. And once again, I'd like to thank those of you that sent those emails in. Well, it'll bring up a first and 10 from the Jacket 48-yard line. The Trojans are in Jacket territory, and it's a handoff. Nope, quarterback keeper to the right. Has nowhere to run. He runs out of bounds. Oh, and that is going to be a penalty. That was not necessary. Sosa running to the outside. Appears to he gave up on the play. He opted to run out of bounds, and one of the Jacket defenders decided to take a shot on him while he was already clearly out of bounds. It'll be a 15-yard penalty, and it'll bring up another Beville first down.
Another one of those unforced errors that we're talking about earlier.
And once again, you know, this is a quality offense in Beville. You definitely don't need to give them any more advantage than they already have.
Oh, sure. They're going to get yards on their own, you know, without the help. No, why make it any easier for them?
Well, it'll bring up a first and 10 from the Jacket 33-yard line, and there's a conference between the officials on the field.
The official is talking with Coach Solis. Not sure what they're discussing, but hopefully it'll get sorted out.
Well, we'll take a quick pause for the cause as things get sorted out here at Javelina Stadium in Kingsville, Texas. We'll be right back. shout out to Ernesto Ayala listening to tonight's ball game there at in Elsa, Texas. Play a little quick song for Ernesto Ayala.
Yo, Vanilla, kick it one time, boy.
Yo, VIP, let's kick it. Ice, ice, baby. Ice, ice.
Once again, you listen to Ed Calchoso Sports Radio. The first down play was a run to the left. It was pick up about 5 yards, and it'll bring up a second down.
Jerry, our star and defensive end, Jerry, barely missed a tackle, but they seem to be adjusting well to this spread style.
Well, once again, like I said, another shout-out to Tim Garate in Elsa, Jaime Alvarado in Providence, Rhode Island University, and candidate Jesse Contreras for the 449th district judge. Big reception for the Trojans.
25 again, the go-to star. 1,000-yard receiver during the season. And he's showing you why tonight.
Well, it'll bring up a first and a goal from about the 3 yard line. There's 10 minutes and 55 seconds left. We have a 7-7 tie, and the Beeville Trojans are knocking on the door looking to break this tie as they quickly hustle to the line. They look to run a quick play, change formations, hand off to the fullback, met by a storm of Ed Calchoso defenders.
Yeah, it's very hard to keep that spread formation here near the red zone. The field shrinks, so maybe the Jackets can at least hold it to a field goal. Hopefully, now they can use that spread formation.
Frank Rodriguez steps up and makes the play in the backfield.
Once again, other shout-outs. Shout-out from Jay Leal, who's listening to tonight's game on his Sprint mobile broadband phone while he sits in his deer lease. Hope he shoot a big one. Also, another shout-out to newlyweds Jose and Melissa Salvador. That coming out from Ernesto Ayala. Congratulations to those newlyweds out there. Hopefully they're enjoying tonight's game. It brings up a second down, and once again from about the 4 yard line. Sosa dropping back to pass. Plenty of time. Number 56 coming in for the tackle. Sosa misses. And
wow.
He is pushed out of bounds.
A big loss. You know, Sosa is still a junior. I would say, you know, a very rookie mistake there. You know, if you at least get rid of the ball, then that's like that big loss. Now you got third and goal from the 15.
Well, he had a lot of time there. I want to say he almost had about 7 or 8 seconds to throw the ball.
Yes, don't get us wrong. He's had a tremendous game so far, but that was could be a key mistake made by the junior.
Well, it pins them deeper, but they're still in the red zone at the 15-yard line. But once again, it's marked off as almost a 12-yard loss when he could have simply thrown the ball away and it would have brought up another 3rd and 4. It'll bring up a 3rd and about 15 from the 15-yard line. The Trojans need to score as they into the field on a spread formation. Once again, Sosa dropping back to pass, has time, has a receiver open in the end zone. It's
a touchdown.
Touchdown, Trojans.
Well, it appeared it was basically a corner route to the corner of the end zone. It looked like man coverage by the Jackets, and he beat the corner there. A nice pass there by Sosa to the corner of the end zone.
It was a beautifully thrown pass. The coverage was there for the most part, but you know what? When the ball's placed in the place it was put, you know what? You really I don't know if anyone else could have covered that any better.
Well, you know, we talk about the big mistake he made the play before. Well, he made up for it right now with a great pass. So that's what great players do. They mess up, but they forget about it, come right back and make a play.
Well, that makes the score right now 13-7. Beeville up with 9:54 left in the second quarter as Beeville is awaiting the PAT. It's up. And it's good. 14-7.
We'd like to give a special shout out here to Bob Garza, listening to the game from Montgomery, Alabama. They got the Iron Bowl coming there tomorrow, so Bob, enjoy the Iron Bowl and I hope you enjoy tonight's game.
Another shout-out to the Marichalad family listening in Calchosa and, of course, supporting brothers Joe and Martin Marichalad, of course, who were on the coaching staff.
That's right, brothers. Very common here in the Valley. So
I believe Joe Manichalar is the middle backers coach, and Martin, his older brother, is the defensive ends coach.
I believe the defensive ends. I believe that's true. That's correct.
Well, Jackets have already assumed the position. They are waiting the kickoff as the Trojans slowly but surely take the field for the ensuing kickoff.
The momentum clearly in Bevo's favor right now. We'll see how the Jackets can respond to this this next drive.
Well, you listen to Ed Couchos of Sports Radio. Let's take a quick pause. Or excuse me, I can never say that right. Let's take a quick pause for the cause. Inspirational music there. That was the Rocky training montage off of the Rocky IV soundtrack, and it was fitting because we just had a great kick return by Manny Menchaca.
But then again, we have a flag on the field back of the 20, but looks like it's going to be wiped out.
Well, that would be a shame if it had to negate the return. Brought it up from about the 5-10 yard line to midfield, and we're waiting the call. It appears they are conferring. The refs are in a conference with the Beeville players. It appears that it will be against the Yellow Jackets. Well, it is indeed against the Jackets, and they will start from, pending the spot, it appears that they will start from, as we await the refs, let's go ahead and send some shout-outs.
From Georgia, we have, what is the name here? Samuel Martinez. I don't know if he's a Bulldogs fan, but there's a big game tomorrow. They're hoping Tennessee loses with Kentucky, which is possible. And thanks for listening there, Samuel.
Once again, he's coming from Ed Couch, Texas, and he sends his best regards to his family, the Martinez family from Ed Couch. I'd also like to send another shout-out to Eddie Luna, who is also tuning into the program. He'd like for us to wish his wife, Elia Fuentes, a happy birthday. Sorry you guys couldn't make it out to the game. Hopefully you enjoy the
broadcast. Hopefully you're warm right now.
Well, we wouldn't mind being in your place. Well, it brings up a first down. Nino crossed back to pass. Complete.
Wow, dare I say, he threw for those not able to watch this, he threw from the left hash to the right sideline. That is an incredible throw that many may not appreciate. That is a, dare I say, Division I caliber throw.
Well, he did throw across the field. It was complete. It was almost like, looked like a 30-yard pass.
Yeah, about a 30-yard pass. I'm on a frozen rope. And yeah. No pun intended tonight, but on a frozen rope.
Well, it was a 30-yard pass, but unfortunately, though, it was cross-field. It was only good for a 9-yard gain, but nonetheless, the Jackets need something good. They need to put some points up, as the score right now with 9 minutes and 24 seconds remaining in the second quarter is Beeville 14, Ed Couch 7. And we are having an official timeout for measurement. It is close to the first down. We'll go and take this time right now. Send a shout out to Tony Moreno, formerly of Ed Couch, the Moreno family. He, of course, is listening to the game right now in Monroe, Michigan. All right, Tony.
Well, Wolverines are done. Had a great season after that sluggish start.
Well, I am proud to announce we have maxed out. We have maxed out. We have 75 listeners. We only had 75 slots. Apologize to those people out there that weren't able to tune in. But
if you know anybody who can't listen, tell them we're sorry, but thanks for the support, and hopefully we'll get more space next time or something.
Well, you know, it took almost most of the first quarter and part of the second quarter for the max out to occur. If you waited that long, well, I guess you weren't a true Jacket fan.
Again, if you know anybody who can't, you know, calling you to say they can't get it, just tell them the situation. We're full. Our space is full. Our lot of space. Tell them we appreciate the support, and hopefully next time they can check it in themselves. But come early next time.
Also, if there's anyone out there that is possibly listening to this on two different computers,
and are taking up a slot needlessly, by all means, free up that slot so someone else can tune in. Well, it'll bring up a second and short. It was not good enough for the first down. It was a handoff up the middle.
To Pettis Young, I believe, appears to have it. Didn't need much. Didn't get much, but he didn't need much.
No, he did not indeed, but, you know, we're waiting on the refs, and they haven't signaled the first down yet. Oh, I stand corrected. First down.
It's good to see him establish young early in this game. You know, he'll when the bodies get, you know, softened up, and then later in the game, he'll be getting some big yards. Young being replaced right now by Menchaca going in. I guess going Solis elected to go more with a speed than power this play, this upcoming play.
Well, it brings up a first down and 10 from about the 20-yard line. And the Jackets enter into a trips formation. Looking for the pass game, you think?
Yeah, I expect to see Big Tango. They're going to go down the middle there. Oh, he stayed in the block.
Indeed, he drops back to pass.
Oh, just behind his intended target.
Did have a receiver open. Would have been close to the first down, but the ball was thrown behind him.
It appears that he went with six block. He had the tight end in the block. Maybe perhaps the pressure getting to Nino, they decided to add an extra blocker in there with three receivers, which I think is a good move. Menchaca comes out. They're coming back in the familiar slot.
Second and 10 from the 20-yard line. Nino fakes the handoff. Pressure up the middle. Avoids the sack. He's scrambling. Cuts left, but he is not going to get very much.
Boy, I can tell you, I bet you Coach Solis there in the sideline just you know, winces every time he sees Nino take a big hit like that, you know, his quarterback taking a big hit. You know.
Well, the pressure it appeared to be a blitz from the middle. I mean, I'd hate to think that would be the pressure from a defensive lineman. It had to have been a backer coming in.
I sure hope so. You know, if the front four can get pressure by themselves, it's going to be a long night for that quarterback.
Indeed it is. Indeed it is.
Still, he did turn a potential sack into a four-yard gain, so nice job there by the youngster improvising on his feet.
Well, it brings up a third and about six from about the 24-yard line.
Big play right here, Buck.
And this is a big play. As the clock continues to run, 8 minutes and 8 seconds left in the second quarter, as Nino appears to call an audible. Takes a snap, drops back to pass, feels the pressure, and he is going to go down. He is down. He is sacked.
And I believe there that was the front four. That kind of a coverage sack there. It appears Beeble dropped seven on a third and long and only rushed four.
Well, you know, it's for the most part, this offensive line of the Yellow Jackets has been beaten and battered. You know, number 55, Adrian Diaz, who sustained an injury earlier in the season. You know, he's playing right now, but, you know, you have to wonder, maybe he's hurting right now.
Well, I don't know if he's hurt, Buck, but I'm sure that the cold weather kind of, you know, brings some soreness. Those of us who have surgeries, you know, years ago can still feel him with this cold weather like this a little bit. So with a young man like that with such a recent injury, I don't think he's hurt, but you have to figure some soreness. Great punt by number 9. Oh, my goodness. It is...
It's going to be pinned real deep.
I believe that's over an 80-yard punt.
Wow.
From his own 10-yard line to the opposition's 3-yard line. What a tremendous punt there by number 9. What is his name there, Buck?
Miguel Garcia.
Miguel Garcia. What a tremendous job. People wondered last year, how can you replace Eric Fox, first-team All-State punter? Well, he has done an outstanding job.
Tremendous job indeed. And you know what? That's a good way to redeem himself after having that short punt.
Come up
with an 80-yarder.
Yeah, 10.
Like to send a shout out to Nick Sanchez.
Unofficially, about 87-yard punt there. Unofficially.
Wow.
So that's wow. That's wow.
Oh, once again, send a shout out to Nick Sanchez, who is a part of the sophomore class of 2010. He wants a Roger the Dodger to do something. But of course, the Jackets are on defense right now as Beeville takes the ball, first and 10 from their own 3-yard line, and they're not going to pass the ball. They hand off, and they are stopped for a small game.
About 2 yards, getting some breathing room. The good thing about this field position, I doubt they'll go to their spread formation, this field position. So that punt may have effectively flipped the field if they can get a stop here.
Yeah, they're just looking to maybe get some breathing room, get themselves out of the end zone. You know, a safety right here could be, you know, the world of difference for Beeville and for the Jackets.
All right, at the very least, a punt on the positive side of the field. It'll be a great starting position for the Jackets.
No, it'll bring up a second and about 8 from about the 5-yard line as Beeville, once again in a tight formation, now drops back to pass, has a receiver open in the flats, and he's quickly shut down.
Nice recovery there. a pass that's awfully deep. You might wonder that running back perhaps ran his route too deep to the flats. If that's dropped, that's a lateral and it's a fumble. So he was very fortunate to catch that pass and to gain about 2 yards, about 36 here. Another key play. I know that's how we done it, but this is another key play.
Indeed it is. I'd like to take this opportunity to send a shout out to Brenda, who is listening online. Go EE, viva la máquina. As the key play, third down and about six from about the 8 yard line, Beeville looking to get the first down. Once again, Sosa drops back to pass.
Wow.
It appears to be complete.
He, for some reason, had about a 15 yard cushion on a third and six. I don't know if that was a misassignment or what, or an error, or misinterpretation of a call, but that's an awful lot of cushion for a third and six.
Well, apparently the crowd does not appear to be very happy.
The crowd's not quiet anymore, I can tell you that.
Well, it was a first down, and it'll bring up a first down for Beeville. 6 minutes, 11 seconds remaining in the second quarter as the Beeville has a 14-7 lead over Ed Couch.
Appears to be a trap play up the middle. That misdirection kind of threw me off there a little bit.
It threw me off, too. I was looking left and right, and I couldn't figure out where the ball was.
Going back to their bread and butter, perhaps facing that stiff wind. They didn't want to go throw to that stiff wind. Although, it didn't seem to bother Sosa last drive, though.
Well, once again, this is a classic example of you know, how if we from up here can get confused as far as where the ball is, imagine for the players on the field. Sosa and, of course, Coach Sosa do an excellent job in keeping their fakes and having his players go through, you know, the motion. It'll bring up about a second and six from the 20-yard line with 5.5 minutes remaining in the second quarter. Drops back, hands the ball off to the right.
Oh, nice play there by the Jack D.
Stuffed. A swarm of Ed Couch defenders there on the tackle, and, you know, we see plays like that where the Jacket defense just, you know, looks unstoppable. I mean, looks like nothing can penetrate that front four. And then we see other plays where they're just nitpicking away.
They seem to do very well against the run. But, you know, a run is only one part of football offense. So they got to be sound in both parts, too, to have a great defense. Another third and long. We'll see what they come up with this time.
Once again, you're listening to Ed Calchosa Sports Radio, sponsored by EEJackets.com.
It's going to be a stunt and a great call. Great call to bring the pressure by the defensive coordinator. It worked like a charm. Big loss.
It was a third and six. Sosa dropped back to pass for Beeville, and the stunt was successful. He gets squashed by about three Jacket defenders that were on the blitz, and it'll bring up a fourth. A punting situation for Beeville. A great stop for Ed Calchosa's defense.
Key stop. With 4 minutes, they got plenty of time to have a nice drive, and I believe 3 timeouts, if I'm not mistaken. So plenty of time. You can run the ball. You can, you know, throw the ball. You have all your options available. And hopefully a short field. If they have a Beamer-style punt block, it'd be nice to see it right now up their sleeve. Oh, a shank. Takes a fortuitous bounce, but the Jackals still have the ball in positive territory at the Beeville, about, I would say, 43-yard line.
Well, the Jackets are fixing to take over with 3 minutes, 46 seconds remaining in the second quarter. They are down by 7, and the Jackets have great field position. They're in their end territory, and they're looking to put some points before the end of the half. Once again, have a shout-out here going out to Johnny Maldonado and family who are listening at home to today's broadcast. Once again, first and 10 in Beeville territory at the 43-yard line. First down play. It's a run with lead blockers. Roger to the right. Nice gain. Close to the first down marker, and Roger appears to have been hit out of bounds. People in the crowd are not too happy at that fact. The fact that there was no flag thrown in response to that. Earlier in the game, we had a situation where one of the Ed Calchosa players hit a Beeville player out of bounds and drawed an immediate flag. And, you know, the same courtesy, I guess, was not extended. But, you know, definitely those refs out there, they're doing the best they can. They do a great job. And
Yeah, definitely. I really like that offsetting unsportsmanlike call in the beginning of the game. You know, let both teams put on notice that, you know, we're not going to put up with any of this, you know, extracurricular. Play the game. And I like it when refs take control like that.
3:23 on the clock.
They're just in the time here after, I believe, Roger ran out of bounds. So he's putting some clock. So far, I would say it's a well-managed game so far by the officiating crew. You have to think Coach Solis is pleased that the running game has been basically effective, you know, this half. And I'm
indeed,
sure
indeed, you know the passing game has been a very critical component for the last two games, and we haven't really seen a lot of passes. Well, that's actually been more of a balanced attack.
Yeah, I'm sure he's pleased with that.
Well, it'll bring up a second and short. Handoff up the middle. It appears to be number 23.
Mattis Young.
On a big gain. A big gain of almost about 10 yards. Definitely has the first down as the clock stops at 3 minutes, 17 seconds. And the Jackets are close to the 22-yard line, 23-yard line. And a score going into the half would be critical.
You know, we said Mattis Young before the game, he was a key, and they seem to have him going. Hopefully it'll pay off for the Jackets. Mattis Young again. Another solid gain on first down, about 3 or 4 yards.
Once again, another shout out coming from Eric Flores, the Marichalad family. He also wants to send a shout out to Vanessa Navarro, who of course could not be at tonight's game because she is in the hospital waiting to be released. Hopefully, Vanessa Navarro, you are doing better. Also to the La Jolla Coyotes for their victory.
Big victory today, like I said.
A Jacket fan in disguise, rooting for La Jolla.
Haas. You know, us Jacket fans kind of had memories of Lionel Casas, who is at La Jolla this year. We remember those battles we had with him when he was at Mercedes. Some great battles in the early 90s, and the mid-90s, I believe.
Indeed.
So, you know, hats off to him. Nice to see him back in the game, I'd say.
Wishing him, of course, the best luck.
Sorry, we had a question from Ernesto Ayala. The field condition seemed fine, with the exception of the cold. There's going to be a stiff wind, which at the Jackets' backs right now.
Well, it's a big third down play. As a receiver
dangerous
open.
Pass. Whoa. Dangerous pass there by Nino. Two defenders on the play.
Well, the receiver was open momentarily, but Beville defenders quickly shut it down, and they managed to just swat the ball away.
That was great closing speed there, but I believe the cornerback it looked like. Decision time for the Jaguars. They're going to take a timeout. It's fourth and about, I'll say, five from the 17-yard line.
Well, I think this is definitely go for it on fourth down. You know, they're on their 12-yard line. It is fourth and five. You know, with a minute 50 left in the second quarter, you know, the way your defense has been playing, you would think that you can go for this and hope for the stop. But then again, you know, it's a question. Do you want to put some points on the board?
Well, I'm sure what Solis is pondering is he has that big win at his back. Kicker's got a strong leg. Don't know if he has the mastery of placement yet, but he has a strong leg. Got a win at the back. I'm sure that's weighing on his mind.
Well, even without the win, you know, our kicker number 9, Miguel Garcia, has several field goals under his belt, his longest being 42 yards during, I believe, the Roma game. Yeah. And this is definitely within his range. If he were to line up to kick it, it would be close to about a 30-yard field goal.
Oh, Buck, I've never seen a kicker kick from the sidelines. The offense comes out through the field.
Well, you know, you're right.
So he's rolling the dice.
Will he gamble? He did the same thing against Alice, and of course he came up big with that touchdown pass to Artie Tanguma. Let's see if the same result will occur on this big fourth and five play. 1 minute 50 seconds left in the second quarter. Jackets down by 7. Spread formation. Nino, shotgun, drops back, looks, scrambles.
He may have the angle, I'm not sure.
It's close. Well, he rolled to the left, managed to avoid a couple potential.
The defense is coming out. I look.
He managed to avoid a couple defenders, but it appears that he is short. Indeed, he is short. Jackets gamble, and they miss out. But with 1 minute, 41 seconds remaining in the second quarter. The Jackets look for their defense. They turn to the defense now and hope for a big stop here.
Well, Bevo has 140, working with 140 from their own, I believe, 14-yard line. They have two timeouts, though, which is key. I don't know. I have not seen tape of their two-minute drill, so I have no idea what that is like. So we'll see what's going on. You have to believe they go to the spread in this situation. They also get the ball in the second half, which is key.
Well,
no, they're coming in the slot.
Beaver will take over from their own 13-yard line. It'll be first and 10, and it is a running play to the left.
Uh-oh.
Has a one blocker. He breaks it. A big run. Still going to the 40, 50, 40, and he is out of bounds. Out of bounds, and it was a quarterback, Eric Sosa, on the run. And that's almost about a 50-yard gain. They are in Jacket territory. They're at close to the 42-yard line of the Yellow Jackets, and that run was huge.
Ah, it's a big run. You kind of had a feel. Maybe Sosa was saying, see what he get on the first down, and maybe go from there. And, well, he got a lot, so.
Well, definitely with 1 minute, 30 seconds, you know, Coach Chris Sosa, who is the coach of Beeville, you don't want to sit on that time. I mean, that's plenty of time to score, and it was evident on the big run play, and now they are in Jacket territory and looking to score.
Nice play there by the defensive end. Jerry got along with a great play.
Send a shout out to Frank Salazar, coming from Brenda Salazar. That is, of course, her father, who is in San Antonio representing, listening online. Thank you, guys. Hope you enjoy the broadcast as the clock continues to roll down. 1 minute, 6 seconds. And the Trojans do not appear to be in very much haste, but it's a big reception. Well, close to about a 15-yard reception. It is a first down, and it takes the Trojans to about the 25-yard line.
It's a very similar play that Alice scored on last week. You have to wonder if they saw the film and say, let's put that in the game plan this week.
It was a slant, but it was a deep slant in the middle. And they're looking to take advantage of the fact that the two safeties on the back, they drop back into the deep outside, and leaves that middle open. Sosa on a first down play.
Oh.
Drops back to pass. Pass is incomplete. A breakup. Great breakup by number 18, Isaac Prado.
Again, going for the money man, number 25.
It'll bring up a second down once again at the Jacket 25-yard line with 43 seconds remaining in the half.
Boy, Beagle still sitting on those two timeouts. You have to wonder why they're not setting up plays or use those two timeouts to their fullest, but I guess we'll see what they do later on. There's still 43 seconds left.
Well, I saw the Beagle kicker from during the pregame. He didn't appear to have very far range. I'm guessing that maybe they want to get at least another 10 yards closer so that the kicker can have a chance to put it in through the uprights. Sosa drop back to pass. Has receiver wide open in the middle. Huge gain. He fights to the 5-yard line. About a 20-yard gain to the Jacket 5-yard line. 36 seconds. What a turnaround. The fact that they were able to drive the ball with under a minute, or excuse me, in a minute, and take it to the Jacket 5-yard line.
That big run was the key. You know, you kind of feel, maybe Sosa was feeling it out. If he didn't get much, he probably just run out the clock with the lead. But, you know, also keys that they're receiving in the second half, which is, you know, a potential with two more scores at worst case scenario. So,
well, the Jackets faced a similar situation last week towards the final minutes of, or the final seconds of the first half, where Alice was threatening to score, and of course they came through with a huge fumble, which negated their touchdown scoring effort, and that turned out to be a critical play. You know, we look for the Jacket defense to do the same here as the Beeville Trojans with a first and goal from the 5-yard line are looking to score. 36 seconds left in the half. What do you think the key to success right now is?
Well, you got to figure Beeville will more than likely come out with their slot formation again, being so close to the goal line. They still have one timeout, which really opens up the playbook. You can still run the ball and call out timeout, stop the clock. So they got a lot of options. I figure you may see, I wouldn't be surprised here to see maybe a spread formation, but a run with the quarterback, perhaps a quarterback wrap, quarterback option. With, you know, again, that timeout is key. Nice job by the coaching staff at Beeville holding those timeouts. Really opens up the playbook. And they are coming out in spread. Will we see a quarterback run here of some kind? We don't know. Big number four looks like a blocking back.
Motion. Hand off to the left. Has room. He's right. In. Touchdown. Touchdown, Beeville. The Beeville crowd erupts as it appeared to be, was that number 25?
I'm not really sure.
No, it was number 15.
Number 2 it looks like, or number 15.
Well, needless to say, whoever it was a big play, 5 yards out. The Trojans are celebrating. They now have a 20-7 lead as the Jackets await the PAT. And this was a huge touchdown coming into or going into the half.
Yeah, I called a run out of a shotgun, and I was right, but I kind of wish I was wrong because it was so successful. But, you know, having that timeout was key. They really had their whole playbook at their arsenal in that situation.
And the kick is up. It's good. And that now brings the Beeville to a 14-point lead. Your score, with 31 seconds remaining in the first half, 21-7.
Boy, you know, it's fitting that this is the week of the Cal Stanford game, because if they got any Cal Stanford plays, kickoff plays, lateral plays here, they better bring it out right now, this kickoff.
I can't help but think of the Trinity Millsap game. Definitely, that was that play has been. You know, played on ESPN, it's all over YouTube. It's been seen by
deservedly so.
Hundreds of thousands of people. You know, I don't see the Jackets looking to do something like that. It's not a dire situation right now. But, the question is, will the Jackets be content right now and going into the locker room with down by 14, or will they try to, you know, strike quick with 31 seconds remaining?
Well, let's not forget, Bevo receives first in the second half, which is also key. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's similar to what we still have two timeouts, but you really have to wonder, you know, if you're going to risk a key error. I think you'll see what he gets in the return, and basically, if he gets good field position, I would assume he tries for a score.
Well, previous return, Manny Machaca had a great return, almost 40 yards, took it to about midfield, but that play was negated by a block in the back. The Jackets, of course, look to do the same as number 2, Manny Machaca, and number 32, Roger Garcia, are deep in deep to receive the kickoff. And once again, there's 31 seconds remaining in the second half. The kick to about the 15-yard line bounces, takes a weird bounce, but Rogers there to pick it up, avoids one tackler, has some room, avoids another tackle, runs over another evil player.
Nice return there. You got to think maybe Solis might try for a score here with such a good return. And still, two timeouts remaining.
Picks up the ball about the 15-yard line. He returned it to about the 45. They're still in their own territory, but, 55 yards away from the end zone with 22 seconds remaining. You'd like to see the Jackets maybe try a screen or something, maybe a draw. And then, you know, as time expires, possibly go for a long bomb or something.
Yeah, they have any new wrinkles they put in this week. Now's the time to bring them out.
Well, it's a first and 10 from about the 44-yard line as Nino in an empty formation drops back to pass, looks to unleash the ball, hurls it, and the coverage is there, and it's broken up by Beeville.
Well, you know, with a three-man rush, Eric may want to try for a rush, maybe get into field goal range with a two timeout still available.
You're absolutely right. With a three-man rush,
they're dropping eight.
He did have plenty of running room there, but now with 14 seconds remaining, that might not be an option. That might not be an option now, because he would need a big pickup. I think, you know, any pickup over 30 yards would definitely cause the clock to expire.
Luckily, we still have two timeouts, and that could come into effect.
Well, the Jackets look to maybe pick up about a 30, 40-yard pass, and then call a quick timeout and possibly put some points on the board before the half. Nino, quick pass to Ronnie Perez in the flats. It appears to have been a broken play of some sorts.
I think that bobble of the ball really threw off the timing.
It appeared to have been what do you call that? It's not a halfback pass, but it's a
double pass.
Pass. But, Nino dropped the snap. Managed to get the ball to Ronnie Perez, but even he had a little trouble with the reception, and that whole miscue, the whole mistiming, resulted in the defender being covered. Ronnie Perez decided just to keep the ball, and he picks up no gain on the play.
Well, better than a costly turnover or mistake in this situation.
Indeed. Well, with 5.9 seconds remaining in the second quarter, I don't think you know, going for it all right now would have been too detrimental.
Right. Well, I mean, Nino has a strong arm. I believe he probably could throw the 60 yards to the end zone. So
well, he does have the wind to his back.
He does have a strong arm.
It's a strong gust. I don't want to say it's maybe a 15 to 20 mile per hour wind, and it's certainly making things very chilly here in Javelina Stadium, Kingsville, Texas. You know, I'm trying to type here on my computer, and my fingers are frozen.
Please play 6.2 seconds. On the clock.
Well, we got a 0.3 now. That changes everything. It was 0.3 seconds.
Indeed it does. Got a shout-out from...
Now Nino can catch the ball and throw it to the rim. Now. It was extra 0.3 seconds.
Got a shout-out from GP King from Huntsville. He, of course, a forum poster on Texas4ASports.com. Wishing him the best. Thank you for listening. Quarterback, drop backs to pass. Nino heaves the ball deep. The ball appears to have been intercepted. And
it appears we'll get a defensive holding call, though. So there is no time on the clock, but the half cannot end on a defensive penalty.
Is that number 10, Eric Sosa?
Could be.
Was that the quarterback?
Could be similar to what the Cowboys did with T.O. in the Hail Mary situation.
Let me check quickly here on my stats. Number 10 is indeed Eric Sosa. It was Eric Sosa deep in coverage. Just like the Yellow Jackets, they put Eric Nino in those critical dire plays where you know you need your best athlete out there. They put him as one of the safety men, and he picks the ball off.
Yeah, and the other day, I believe it was the Cowboys against the Giants. The Cowboys put T.O. back there too in the same situation to do that ball. So,
well, you know, it's one of those smart penalties because
on the defense, the 15-yard mark penalty.
Although
the previous spot,
well,
first down, one untimed down.
This 15-yard penalty makes a Hail Mary pass now very light. Well, it would at least reach the end zone this time for sure.
Well, you know, I couldn't see because, you know, my view here was blocked, but I have to wonder, did the head couch receiver have the guy beat? Is that why?
I believe he had the corner beat, but I believe Sosa was back there playing middle field, center field, I'm sorry. So, okay.
You know, there's some instances where, you know, a penalty like that, it would be, you know, you save the touchdown, and I mean, you only give them 15 yards. They still need another 40 yards to go, such as the Jackets here. They're actually on the 41-yard line.
Somewhat similar to the basketball team fouling to get the ball back late in the game, kind of something like that.
Indeed. Once again, another shout-out to Ashley Garcia listening. She wants to send a shout-out to her uncles, Martin and Joe Marichalar, and, of course, her other uncle, who is the constable there in Ed Couch also, Danny Marichalar. May God be with him and wish them the best of luck. Once again, that's coming from Ashley Garcia.
So we will have, there is zeros on the clock, but we will have one more down because the half cannot end on a defensive penalty. So I expect another chuck to the end zone here. Good call by Solis calling the timeout to set things up. That's a good use of the timeout. I mean, they don't carry over, so might as well use them all. Make sure everyone's in place.
Well, it is, once again, this is an untimed play. It was extended. The first half was extended. Because of a defensive penalty, the Jackets are down 21-7, and they look to possibly put some points on the board as they take the final play of the half from their own 41-yard line. Nino seems to be changing the play on the line of scrimmage.
We got three guys from Bevo, about 30 yards back at the goal line.
Nino drops back to pass, has to step up, unleashes the ball.
Oh, incomplete.
Incomplete.
Well, that'll be it for me for now, Buck. Thanks for having me.
Well, it appears to have been, it was an incomplete pass, and that pretty much concludes the first half.
All right, this is Rob signing off. Buck, thanks for having me on and enjoyed it. And shout out to all our great listeners out there. Thanks a lot. We appreciate your listening, and hopefully there'll be more games to come. See you later.
Once again, you're listening to Ed Calchosa Sports Radio, sponsored by EEJackets.com. We have 28 minutes remaining on the game clock as it is about to start, and that'll be your halftime show. We'll be back in a few minutes.
nobody who's been out there knows that.